Reading from the Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks ill of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is korban,' that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'It is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to tell you two quick stories. The first one is about a lady named Ms. Peterson. And in case you're wondering, no, I have no idea who she is. I found this on the internet. That sound good? Because I don't want you to think one day I'll be telling a story, an illustration about you at some church down the road. Leaving church one day, Miss Peterson asked her husband, "Do you think that Johnson girl tints her hair?" "I didn't even see her," admitted Mr. Peterson. "And that dress Margie Henson was wearing," continued Miss Peterson, "was that suitable for a mother of two?" "I didn't notice that either," said Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson snapped, "Oh, for heaven's sake, a lot of good it does for you to go to church." I mean, it's kind of funny to us because we've heard those kinds of things before, right? Can you believe she wore that to church? Can you believe he has on sneakers at church or shorts? I can remember the first time I wore a pair of shorts to church and an old lady looked at me and I could kind of feel like she was thinking, well, at least he's here. We have traditions that we hold on to, that we should look a certain way in order to come to a church. That we have things that we're going to do that are just pertinent to us, and that things should be that way if you're going to come to church. like a lot of people out in the world, believe that they got to be perfect to come here. Do you know that? Do you know who they learned that from? From us. Isn't that unfortunate? Any perfect people here today want to out themselves? Anybody? Just curious. I'm not perfect. The last thing I ever want somebody to hear from me is the suggestion that I'm somehow sinless and so I can deserve to be up here. Let me tell you a little secret about me. I don't wear this because I think I have to. I wear it because it covers me. God gave priestly garments to the priests in the Old Testament so they could remember their calling and remember that it was God who was holy and not them. The Pharisees had lost touch with that. They had taken up the idea that if they just kept all these rules and hammered all this in, that they could achieve perfection for the people, and all the people would suddenly be keeping God's law. Well, that makes sense, right? If you just add on a whole bunch of rules and get the whole nation to keep God's law at one time, God will be happy, the people will be happy, it'll rain on the crops. Why not? In church, when I was growing up, I remember that kind of thinking. If everybody would just behave and be sinless, then God will bless the USA and we'll be the greatest nation ever lived. But who in the world can be sinless? Other than Jesus. Miss Peterson is on to something, though. But she won't hear herself. There's something in her heart that completely blocked her leaving the church, saying, "What a great Lord we serve." Something in her heart completely blocked her from hearing the wonder of God's Word being read, being able to sit under it and hear it, being able to hear God's promise and hope for her life. She missed that because she was too distracted judging her neighbor's apparel choice. She was too distracted by how she thought a mother of two should live. I knew a guy when I was a teenager, something like that. He wrote a book in 1983. I was a young kid. Over at Main Street United Methodist Church, where Pilgrim's Inn used to be, it burned down. Mark, were y'all there in 83? 85. So this was before, sometime right before Jerry came. I remember meeting a man in that church named Buck Roebuck. Did any of y'all ever meet him around town? He sold graves over at the cemetery on Cherry Road. Name ring a bell? Buck Roebuck. It's easy to remember because it's like Sears and Roebuck. But now it's just Sears. And y'all don't get all excited when the catalog comes in the mail because you can look it up on the internet. Greatest day of my life when I was a kid when the Sears catalog showed up at the house. You circle all the stuff you want for Christmas, and now I can't remember my sermon. What was I talking about? Buck Roebuck. Buck Roebuck was an admitted alcoholic. He admitted in the front of the church, like I admit I got this on, that he had struggled with drinking to the point that it almost killed him. And do you know what product is synonymous to me with his name? Aqua Velva. Because he said one day to a group of us, "It got so bad that I was even drinking aftershave." And I can remember this moment of just paralyzing fear for him that something could hold somebody that hard, and at the same time having this overwhelming love for him because he said Jesus set him free. Do you hear that? Here's a guy that people would judge on his appearance. He looked like he had lived rough, but was a sweet and gentle and wonderful man whose heart Jesus had completely and utterly transformed. And he gave me a great gift. And I'm not really trying to be funny. Church picnic one year out at this place had a lake. It's on a Sunday. Me and my brother wanting to go to the pond and fish because, you know, if I'm breathing, I'm wanting to fish. And Mama says, "You don't fish on Sunday." And Buck Roebuck says, "Oh, yes, you can." So he's my hero. Think about all of the things we've told each other we can't do on Sunday, how we've robbed the Lord's day of joy. I can remember people who were older people telling me that when they were kids, if they got caught playing on Sunday, they would get whooped. It reminds me that Jesus told some Pharisees one day that the Sabbath was created for us, to give us a time of play and rest. Because remember, God created in 6 days and then God rests. All of the rules that we can heap up, what we should look like, how we should dress, how we should comb our hair, whether or not we can have tattoos when we come to church, whether or not we should be this or do that, and all that has nothing to do with the fact that we're all sinners and need Jesus, does it? Is there seriously some point where we would stand at the door and say, "You can't come in here because you're not like us"? If we ever do that, we then will be the hypocrites. As Paul told the Corinthian church, you were all once just like them. These folks come to Jesus and gather around him. And instead of seeing the love that's going on there, instead of seeing the joy or being embraced in whatever was happening there, they said, "Hey, why are your disciples eating with unclean hands?" They didn't say, "Why don't they keep the commandments of God?" They didn't accuse them of blasphemy. They accused them of ignoring the elders. They're the kind of people who would have told Buck Roebuck he didn't have a place in the church because he wasn't yet perfect. You ever heard the saying, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions"? Don't you know that's true? Good-intentioned people create more uproar in the world than anybody else. And usually their good intention is really that they're just going to straighten somebody else on how broken up that other person is, right? "You know, I think I should just share with her what's going on." And usually my response is, "Please don't." Please don't. Share some grace, share some love. Because listen, if we're going to do this thing where I ask you, "Are you still in love with Jesus?" and y'all say, then at some point it's got to spill over into somebody else's life. And that spilling over happens when we're willing to stop giving lip service to Jesus and give love service. Albert Einstein had a twist on the road to hell is paved with thing. He said, "The road to perdition has ever been accompanied by lip service to an ideal." Lip service. When we give something lip service and don't let it sink into our heart and become the core reality of our existence, then all we really do is create a fake front for ourselves so that we can be one person when we're with the church and another person when we're with everybody else. And we don't just cheat ourselves then. We cheat all of those people who need for us to be who we are here today, a people who love Jesus. They need you to love him tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Because the more you're in love with Jesus, the more you will be in love with them. And the more you're in love with Jesus, the more likely you are to tell them why you love him. The prophets called the people to these same things. Amos did it. Hosea did it. Isaiah and Micah, they all did it. To stop giving lip service to their devotion to God. Amos called for the people to take justice seriously as God's purpose for the world. Hosea called them to purity of love. To love for love itself and not to love for something in return. Isaiah called for the people to live in purity of action, to make their very being acts of love and charity, to take care of orphans and widows as the prime form of religion. And then Micah taught us to do all of that with humility. Lip service gets us nowhere, the saying goes. Because what matters is heart service. What makes a difference in people's lives is when we serve them from the heart and when we serve the truth of Jesus from the heart. When we let it sink down into ourselves, yes, I'm a sinner, and yes, I'm becoming a saint. Yes, I was bound for hell, and yes, I'm bound for heaven. Yes, I'm not perfect, and yes, I'm being made perfect in Christ. Because all of those things are true at the same time. And it's only when we embrace that that we can avoid being a hypocrite. Because then we can see people in their hurts and their brokenness without judging them. Because we can remember our own healed hurt and brokenness. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite, right? Anybody? What's required to not be a hypocrite? Stop giving God lip service and give God heart service. Let what we say with our lips sink into our hearts. A person named Dawn Wilhelm said this about this text. She said, "It reminds us that hardness of heart is among the most damning of spiritual conditions, revealing a lack of compassion toward others. In these and other verses, Christ urges us to examine our own defiled hearts rather than our neighbor's dirty hands." I think she's spot on right. Today, as we come to Christ's table, it's not the condition of our hands that matter. It's not the condition of our minds that matter. It's the condition of our whole heart. The whole seat of emotion and love and justice and purity and lack thereof, our seat of anger, our seat of all those things that spill out of us when we least expect it. What is the condition of the core of you? What is the condition of the core of me? Am I someone who would walk up to someone and notice first how imperfect they were or what tradition they weren't keeping before I could engage them as a human being that God loves? Is it in me to see everyone with God's compassion? That's the text. That's the question this text forces upon me. Is what I say with my mouth so rooted in my heart that I can see others with the love of Christ? Ponder that question today as you come to His table. Not because you deserve to, but because He has called you to His table. And pray that whatever lack of compassion might be in you might be healed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.